All right, this is the first R&R, a little R&R after the Michigan game. I am Ryan Ellsworth. My friend here and co-host, Ryan Millard.
How y'all doing out there?
What is your extensive background with Michigan football?
Well, I've always been a huge Michigan fan. The whole family, always huge Michigan fans. I've watched every Michigan game ever since I was a little kid. There's nothing more important to me than Michigan football. I can say that, same with my family. I've always been a huge football nut as well. I played all through high school. Even my family was so diehard in Michigan. My dad, one year back in 1997, when the Wolverines were in the Rose Bowl for the national championship against Washington State, he flew all the way out to Pasadena. Ticket. And waited outside the game. Ended up getting into like the first quarter and paid $1,000 just to get into the damn game. And but you know, it was legendary. Something if you're a Michigan fan, you couldn't miss it. And he loved it. So you know, that's how we roll.
That's how you roll. I bet your mother loved that. Oh. Who cares about the Bills? Spent $1,000 on three quarters of Michigan football.
Right.
I run Amazing Tees, t-shirt shop. It's amazingtees.blogspot.com. We've been doing that for about a year now. I've had season tickets for a few years. Been to many games. I don't know, you know. And I've been loving it since the Desmond Howard days. I think that's when I first started watching, you know.
That's my boy.
Desi. Watching him go. So that was sort of what turned me on, I guess, to Michigan football. And then, of course, the tradition and all that BS.
And Desmond was tripped in the end zone in that Michigan State game. I don't give a shit what you say. Desmond here all the way.
That's up for debate if you talk to the right people, but
right. Oh, it's like a phantom touchdown, I guess.
Now, what game are you at? You were at a big. It seemed like you said you were at a big game when you were younger, or
you went to the Michigan State game at Spartan Stadium. Boy, it was the year that Desmond won the Heisman, so that was a great game for Michigan football. Desmond scored a couple touchdowns. I think he had a diving catch in the end zone. I mean, it's an unbelievable game. Gosh, I was only probably about 12 years old, but I still remember it to this day, like it happened yesterday. So, good times.
I was unfortunately had season tickets here. John Navarro was quarterback, so I don't know how much excitement I saw. But,
least you got to see Braylon.
That's true. I got to see Braylon Edwards.
Braylon's worth a ticket, man. I don't care who you are or what you say. Braylon is worth the price of admission.
All right, moving on to the matter at hand, which is the sky is falling right now, Michigan football.
Boy.
In all seriousness, you and me were at the Ducks game.
Yes, we were.
Where to start? You know, the first quarter was something else. I mean, we were having a riot.
Yeah, close game. I mean, there were season ticket holders that were sitting in front of us, high-fiving, clapping, like everybody having a great time. I mean, it was like a huge party. But, you know, Michigan's defense, man, what can you say? I mean, it's just atrocious this year. Anytime a team comes in and spreads things out, runs a shotgun, Michigan just, they
over.
Can't adapt.
It's over.
And yeah, they can't adapt.
Before it even starts.
I mean, I know Ron English is kind of a new defensive coordinator, but, I mean, he did have a good year last year, even though he had a lot of seniors and a lot of great key defensive players. But I don't know what's going on with the boys this year. You know, and during the game, I could tell they run a lot of man coverage, and, you know, it's hard to run man when you're getting burnt all day long, and that's all our corners are doing. They're just getting burnt. Oregon receivers are too fast for them. I mean, there's nothing you can do against that. You got to run a zone at some point, you would think.
Or, though, there was a lot going right. And
everybody was
excited, and everybody thought they were going to do it. And then they, you know, my cards pounding the ball down the field, left and right. you know, doing his thing, running the same running play over and over as usual. And what happens?
Yeah,
Henning throws a lob to the end zone. Mario Manningham cuts his route off a bit. I won't even get into that right now.
Interception. Mario was not running the right route, but
he got bumped off a bit. I'll give him that. But Chad Henning made a bad throw.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. But, you know, as the game went on, you could tell that it's like Michigan's playbook so scripted. Oregon's defensive line, I mean, they would shift before the snap of the ball almost every time there was a running play. Not so much when there was a pass, but because they knew Michigan was going to pass, and they knew when they were going to run. And, you know, every time that Michigan was going to run, Oregon shifted to the side of the ball that they were running. And almost all day, Michigan didn't even run to Jay Long's side, which is just ridiculous.
Maybe the Ducks had a camera on the other side, and they were reading their offensive play calling or something.
It could be Belichick might be working some scouting for him, but who knows. But, Michigan made Dennis Dixon look like Vince Young, which is ridiculous. I mean,
because he's not.
Right. I mean, of course, he's a great prospect, a good Division I quarterback, but, I mean, he's no Vince Young, man. I mean, he's got a good arm. You know, he can run, but, I mean, God, he made Michigan look like Division II school. That's pathetic.
Yeah, well, I think that's another thing. You're running your man defense, and you know your guys are, well, where's the quarterback? Who has the quarterback?
Right,
how many times did they run? How many times did he run? And then, like, Morgan Trent or whoever is, like, looking at him but not pursuing him, even though he's clearly past the line of scrimmage.
Right, and that's something that I was going to hit on. A lot of the times, like Morgan Trent, even the other cornerbacks, like they had their back turned to the cornerback. I mean, they didn't have their eyes on the quarterback. You know, I know playing man coverage, you have to follow your receiver as much as possible, but at some point, you got to think, after the play's running for about 4 or 5 seconds, the quarterback's out of the pocket, and he's moving, and you better get your ass to him.
Yeah, you better. Well, that, and this is what, last week this happened, and now this week. I mean, they should be used to it by now. Quarterback taking off. They got to be ready for it.
Oh, geez, if a Division I AA school quarterback is running up and down on you, I mean, what do you think Dennis Dixon's going to do against you? You know, it's like, even after that Appalachian Stadium, which I'm not going to even talk about, they still, it's like they didn't get it. They didn't adapt. They just wanted Oregon to pound the ball up the middle, and Michigan loves that. And Oregon's not going to do that. I mean, they've never done that. And so it seemed like they always had the wrong defensive schemes out there. They just, they're just not aware of the circumstances that, you know, what Oregon was going to do.
Not only that, the tackling was atrocious. I mean,
oh, my God.
I mean, bad. Seven tackles. I mean, there was one play where they counted seven missed tackles.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You just can't.
No. It was so bad that Oregon ran two Statue of Liberty plays. In a Division I football game, I have never seen two successful Statue of Liberty plays. Which one, the running back, I think he gained about 20 to 30 yards after the one, and the other one in the second half, Dixon fake to the running back, held the ball for a good, I don't know, 30 minutes, and walked into the end zone. The defensive end on the left side had just standing there like, oh, what happened?
I don't know who that was. I think it might have been, I don't know who was in on that play. It was Patterson or Brandon Graham or whoever it was. They were totally clueless to who had the ball.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think Michigan scored. I don't think they understand that Oregon scored a touchdown until they pulled the lineup for the kick return.
Oh, they scored?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Shit.
Yeah, they were kind of clueless all day on where the ball was. And, you know, that's all Oregon did. They ran from the shotgun all day, and almost every play they do play action. And Michigan was just waiting for the run. It was like, you know, if they did play action, they were man-to-man, and their corners were screwed. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And if you're running a receiver all the way down the sideline, well, Dixon's got about 10, 15 yards before anybody's going to touch him, and that's just all they did all day. And credit to Oregon, they executed beautifully.
Yeah, you got off. Look at Oregon. He was in a shotgun every time. I never seen this. Not even in a regular run. He was
He was almost in like a tailback position. Like his feet were parallel with himself. I mean, just he wasn't even standing like a quarterback. He looked like just regular tailback taking a snap. I mean,
right?
Ridiculous.
It was a very somber mood in the Big House that day. I can say there's some disgusted fans.
Well, let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. I've gone to probably about 4 or 5 Michigan games, and I have never, ever left the stadium early, ever. That was the first game that we ever left early, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's so disheartening to go to a game and see your team, who always plays so well, look like bums, absolute bums.
Yeah, it doesn't speak well for Lloyd Carr, which is what we're sort of getting to next here. What do you think? I'm on the bandwagon of not firing him. I'm on the bandwagon of I know it's could be a tough year, but I think you should step down at the end of the year. But you can't fire your coach. You just can't. You're gonna kill recruiting.
Yeah, especially Lloyd. Lloyd's been at Michigan forever. I mean, he worked on the bowl. I mean, you know, there's a lot of tradition there, and he's never done Michigan wrong. I mean, he would never leave Michigan to go anywhere else. I mean, his pride and joy is Michigan. He's been thrown under the bus almost every season. I mean, his name comes up for firing almost every year. They only lost, you know, 2 games last year, and his name is up to be fired. I mean,
they dropped the ball in those last 2 games, but not one person made a peep before that when they were undefeated.
Exactly. All the talk was Ohio State, this, and, you know, USC, and all those.
He loses 2 games, and Michigan fans call for his head, and there were people at the stadium with the Fire Lord, you know, Fire Lloyd chants and all that. Those are the same fans that don't have a clue about recruiting. They are not. All they do is they watch Michigan every Saturday, and that's all they know. They don't know how the players got there. They just know, there's a new guy out there named Mike Carr. He's our new running back. You know, there's a Ryan Mallett. You know, recruiting is so important. You fire your coach, you lose. You're going to lose your class. You just can't do that. Losing doesn't help either, but.
Right, and Michigan has a great class coming up.
If you want the Sam McGuffeys of the world to show up at our doorstep, you don't fire Lloyd Carr, and people that want him fired probably don't have a clue about recruiting.
No, and Sam McGuffey, hey, if anybody hasn't YouTubed that kid yet, check it out. White Lightning, man, I'm telling you. Just unbelievable the skill this kid has and how fast he is. For running backs, it's unreal. You know, he's not a small cat either. I mean, he might not be that tall, but shit, running backs never are. But, I mean, he's a thick kid, and he's going to do something else. And if you get rid of Lloyd, you might just lose him, and along with other bigger recruits, because Michigan always has one of the top recruiting classes in the nation. And if you get rid of him, you might lose those kids to other top competitive schools in the Big Ten, like Ohio State. So, I mean, it's really unfair to people. For people to judge Lloyd so quickly just after a bad start to the season. I mean, when we were in the Big House and they were doing the introduction to all the players, I've never heard, when they're introducing all the players and then they introduce Lloyd Carr, I have never heard so many boos in my life for the head coach.
Right.
And
it's
sad. It's kind of disgraceful, yeah. It's really sad. I mean, Michigan fans aren't usually like that, and I don't know, it's just like everybody's living in it now. They don't want to look into the future. It's just like get rid of them now, and nobody really looks at the big picture and sees.
What's that going to solve? Is the defense all of a sudden going to get better? You know, is our personnel going to get better? No, it's not. If people consider maybe our personnel just isn't good enough this year, I mean, it's probably half of it, maybe half of it's coaching it along with it. But, you can't fire him. You will lose that recruiting class, and you just can't do that. Now you can. Now you gotta get these guys signed. Once you get them signed, you know you can go out and you can. He can resign or whatever he wants to do, which I think he will.
Right,
and then
you
bring in whoever you want.
Which might be too late because by the time you get those kids signed, you're talking about starting spring practice already. And
right.
to bring a new coach in, that's a long time, man. You gotta think about, you know, changing your offense, defense, like whatever the new coach is gonna want to do. I mean, he might not even want the same personnel that you're in Michigan now. That's a total revamp of the whole system, and I mean that takes time. You just can't go in and do that like a month before spring practice starts. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That and you bring in Les Miles or whoever, and you know that might the recruits have to like him. They want to have to play for him. Right now, our recruiting class wants to play for Lloyd Carr and his staff.
Right.
So you got to find somebody that your recruits are comfortable with, because they didn't sign on for whoever you're hiring, and they got to be comfortable with the offense he's running. Because why wouldn't Sam McGuffey want to come to Michigan? We pound the ball. You know?
Right. Right, I mean, he's guaranteed to get 20 touches a game. I mean, what running back doesn't love that, you know?
All right. Well, moving on here to some mail, some questions we got. I'm going to touch on one here. It's the Mario Manningham. Did he dog it in that game? And I'm going to say absolutely yes. He dogged it 110%. It was actually pretty disgusting.
Yeah, there was a few plays where Mario caught the ball and actually had his defender beat and could have got a few more yards and kind of stepped out of bounds. And it's not so much that he like didn't want to get hurt. It was just, it kind of seemed like his heart wasn't into it.
Right. He was. There was a play there. He got a great pass. He had Adrian set up with a great block. Adrian played his ass off, by the way. And he was blocking, and he could have cut right up and said he ran left out of bounds, which made no sense. And then he did that all day.
Yeah.
Just, and then he just looked like a spoiled child. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then when Mallett came into the game, you know, and he got hurt, Mallett, you know, he's green, he's frost, he threw some balls that were kind of all over, but still, you know, Mario kind of showed up as quarterback, pumping his fist at him, like kind of yelling at him, stuff like that, and you can't do that. Any receiver knows you can't show your quarterback up like that. That's disrespectful. And if I was Mallett, I wouldn't want to throw his way if he's going to act like that, because then he's not going to try his hardest to go up for the ball.
Yeah, well, as soon as he came in, you know, his demeanor got even worse, and, you know, you could tell. I mean, the game was over, but still, I'd never seen somebody dog it at Michigan like that. And I got news for Mario Manningham. You're not Braylon Edwards. I don't even know if you're Marquise Walker. Well, that's what I think when somebody does that. I think it's disgusting that he just totally dogged it. He'd be cutting routes off, just – not even running, you know, if the quarterback wasn't looking his way, not even running his route. I mean, doesn't block and nothing, you know. And I got news for you, Braylon. You're no Braylon, buddy. You know, you're a good, solid receiver. You've done some good things while you're here. And I think it's from what I can tell after watching that game, you might be as good as gone after this year. You know, don't let the door hit you in the ass, because we'll get somebody in here who, you know, wants to play hard every down, like an Adrian Arrington, who showed me that maybe he is our best receiver. I don't know. He's played real well in the first two games, and he's showed a lot of maturity, and he's caught some big catches. And
that game.
He blocked.
He made a hell of a catch in the end zone. I mean,
we're lucky to get those 7 points.
Yeah, we looked at ourselves and we're like, did he catch that? And, you know, I had to look on the big screen later on, like, holy shit, he did catch that. I mean, it was unbelievable. And he made some great blocks, like that long pass that Mario had. He made a great crackback block. I mean, he blew the Oregon defender out. And he gave Mario at least an extra, like, 15 yards to get downfield just by getting that block. I mean, and that's the Michigan work ethic for all the players out there. But I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it just kind of seems like Mario was dogging it a little bit.
Dogged it. I think he dogged it more than a little bit. It's just really disappointing when supposedly your best wide receiver is doing that. I mean, he's supposed to be – he's a junior, so supposedly a leader on this team, I'm guessing. And he looked far from it. Looked more like a spoiled child. Just, you know, I know your season's a bit disappointed right now, but there's no reason to do that.
You're right, and you know, it's not doing any good whatsoever either. It's just going to hurt the team. It's going to hurt him and his draft status. It's going to hurt everything. So, you know, suck it up, Buttercup. Get out there and strap your pads on and get ready to hit people in the mouth because this is Michigan football. This isn't intramurals, brother.
It's the Big 12 football!
I don't think he's sticking around after this year.
He's always been a little
hint that he was going to leave after this year, but after seeing that, I think he's, which is fine because we are loaded. I mean, we have, you think there ain't another Mario Manningham's waiting behind him? There's always somebody. I'm not worried about that.
Big name receiver at Michigan, and, you know, and if there isn't a big name receiver, hey, there'll be somebody that'll step up and make themselves a big name.
Right.
It's just always been like that because Michigan's quarterbacks are too good not to have a good receiver. I mean, the quarterbacks will make a good receiver if they have to.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how to go with that. You know, it's hopefully he improves the next game. And, you know, like you said, the Buttercup comment, maybe I should make that into a T-shirt. Suck it up, Buttercup. Put a little 86 on there. Might sell.
Might not do too bad. I don't know, man. There's more haters out this year than ever.
Right, yeah. Like I said, the media is prying on us pretty hard. We're winning a lot last year. I'd really be tough to find anything about Michigan on SportsCenter and whatever. You know, it's always USC this and that. Cause they love USC for obvious reasons. And this year, Michigan's losing, man. But I can tune in the SportsCenter and hear about them three times now, you know, whatever. You know, PTI, whatever,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Doesn't matter. They're being talked about, but when they're winning, nobody really seems to care.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, yeah, they're on there every day. Every day I turn on SportsCenter, they talk about it at least every 20 minutes. And now, even more so now because Notre Dame game's coming up, and they're both 0-2. And God, when the last time that was, these two teams have matched up the third week in the season, both being 0-2. And actually being 0-4, continuing from last season, so.
Right. The curse of Bo continues.
Yeah, man. I say we resurrect Bo, find a priest that's dealt with resurrections before, pull him out of the grave, and teach him spread offense.
Yeah, but then if you resurrect Bo, you're going to have the fullback running on third and 10.
Hey, that's all right, man. We might even put Bo in the game. Break one for 80.
All right, man. Well, this has been our first R&R show, Ryan and Ryan show. If you need a little R&R after the game, this is where you come. We will have another show after the Notre Dame game, so check us out on that. All right? Hopefully, I didn't have any too many mic problems. We apologize if you have any hicks or humbars. But we're sort of new, so we're going to do the best we can. Show will get better as we go on. It's the very first show, so we'll move forward from here. Hopefully some people start listening and don't make fun of us too bad. Show's been powered by amazingtees.blogspot.com. You can get all of the best Michigan shirts there. We have some great stuff there, some great art. Check it out. So,
check that stuff out. I got some great shirts there.
We have a great artist that helps us out, and I don't know, we've had some good success. Sort of downtime right now with Michigan struggling, but check it out. It's, again, amazingtees.blogspot.com. And I guess that's a wrap for the first show. Check us out here after the Notre Dame game. We posted up in the same spot. Hopefully we have a little more praise and downers to talk about. First show's been a bit of a downer.
Well, that's why the show's called R&R, you know. You're depressed about the game coming for a little R&R.
Right. We're a bit of a Debbie Downers for this one, but I don't know. So check us back. Thanks for listening. Any closing comments, Ryan?
Nope, I don't. Go Blue. We're going to pick some Irish Poontang this weekend, so hey. Let's get rocking and rolling, boys. Go Blue.
All right, guys. We'll check you later.